you convince yourself. It's a good strategy. It's a good idea. It's a good plan. It works. I know all. I got this. The last seven numbers have been black, 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 black. Red's coming. I'm going to put everything on red, and here we go. It's gambling. And I believe it's a large part of why such a huge portion of businesses fail.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Welcome back to another episode of The Fighting Entrepreneur, brought to you by your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal. And today we're going to talk about five strategies I use to research a new business idea. I know, us entrepreneurs, right? Bam, bam, bam. We got all these ideas. And man, I think too many of us just start running, trying to go build them. You know, I think it was last week, right? We released our episode about focus groups. That's a piece of it. But before you can even go to focus groups, there's a bunch of steps that you should be doing. And I want to go over those today. But just so you get a little update, it's November 4th, I guess, right now, while you're listening to this. I am currently done, finally, with all my events. And I'm hanging out in Singapore for a couple of days. I'll be back soon. I'm flying back soon. But this is now time with wife, just hanging out, seeing some old friends. Alvin, hopefully I'm seeing him, man. Longtime friend of mine that I haven't seen in so long. When I come back, I'll film an episode, let you know about how everything went. So far, I've spoken in Singapore in front of like 2,500 people by now. I've spoken in front of a bunch in Malaysia. Then I did another event in Singapore. I took a vacation in Thailand in the middle. I hung out with one of my best friends, Ritaban C, which you guys, if you're not following him, you have to be. Flying Start Online YouTube channel. The guy is an e-com wizard and one of my best friends. So I've been on quite the journey. Right? But I can't really tell you about how any of it's been because I'm recording this before I left for the journey. So I hope everything's been good. And I'll let you know when I get back. I'll let you know all the lessons I learned on the road when I get back. Before we can start with the five strategies to researching a new business idea, are you a member of Learn Nation? LURN.com. Come on. What's it going to take? I'm going to put 10 million entrepreneurs inside of Learn, connect you guys all over the world together. Because what do I say? If you want to save the world, help the world. You want to cure illnesses, you want to save people from hunger and provide shelter and education. Not the governments. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. It's us. It's entrepreneurs that are going to do it. So how do we help one another? We help one another by literally being connected to one another, by leveling up our skills with education, with connection, with masterminding, with, and all of that is what's going to be happening at Learn. So right now, go get your free membership at LURNLEARN.com. And we have so many new features and so many new things coming out all the time. Make sure you get connected, get plugged in. Okay, so let's get to the topic of the day. Five strategies I use to research a new business idea. So let's first talk about the overwhelming underlying problem. As an entrepreneur, a great entrepreneur's greatest strength is also their greatest curse. And that is that we have what we call a spaghetti brain. Right? And boom, 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 it's always working. It's always firing, right? We can't sleep at night because we're doing Excel files and calculations in our mind. And we're thinking about problems we can solve. And we're thinking about wealth we can create. And we're thinking about all the good we can do, hopefully. And then suddenly, we might be listening to a podcast, watching a YouTube video, talking to a friend, seeing a sales video, doing something at an event, shaking a hand, having a dinner. And it goes, poof. We're like, oh, I got it. Here's my idea. It's going to kill it. I got it. I want to run. I want to make it happen. And we get so excited because obviously, you know, we have a lot of ideas, but there's not all of our ideas get us that excited, right? So like as entrepreneurs, we're used to having idea, idea, idea. We might have like 10 a day. But then if you have been having a lot of ideas, if you're in a place where you have multiple ideas all the time, this one comes up and you're like, wow, that's a good idea. And so you have, in your mind, you're like, I already filtered all the okay ideas, the bad ideas, and now I hit one good. So you feel like that's enough. You're like, I know everything. I know all. I got a good idea. I'm going to run with this. And that's the biggest problem we make. Because running with a good idea, in my opinion, is the same as being in Vegas, having a hunch and putting it all on red. Why? Because you're like, I feel it. I feel it. Look at that. Look at the board. the last seven numbers have been black. Red's coming. I'm gonna put everything on red, and here we go. And you convince yourself it's a good strategy. It's a good idea. It's a good plan. It works. I know all. I got this. It's gambling. And I believe it's a large part of why such a huge portion of businesses fail. They say something like 80% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. I think that if you were to start your business with what I'll share with you today, the five strategies we'll go over, I think you could cut that number by a lot. So let's get to it. Number one. By the way, you know what? Actually, let me do it in a live example. I wasn't going to do this, but I'll do it. We are currently in Learn focusing on launching a new division, actually a few new divisions, but I'm doing them very differently now. So I know I talk a lot about focus. I'm focused, but I'm taking some of my key leadership in the company and giving them each a division to focus on and to build, because I'm also a big believer of intrapreneurship. So I want to give them their own division to build and be entrepreneurs within. So that's my mission. That's my vision. That's my focus, is to find leaders and give them their own divisions to build. And so I have one division I really want to build. It's time. We need to do it. I believe I've got great people already in the company to help me do it. So it's time to tap it. And from a business standpoint, it's needed. It's something that will really serve the business at an instrumental level. So I decided, under the guidance and leadership of some research provided to me by Jeremy Bellotti, our lead transformation coach here at Learn. So shout out to him. I came up and he sent me some things to listen to, a couple podcasts. I started listening and I had that moment as an entrepreneur, right? You have it all the time too. But I was like, oh, I've got it. That's it. That's the solution. Oh my God, this is going to be great. But I've learned by getting beat up in the ring of business too long to know that that's not enough. So what did I do? This is the five steps I'm going through literally right now as I dissect that idea, as I get deeper into it. Number one, this is number one, find an example. Now, what do I mean? So luckily for me, Jeremy did number one. He sent me an example. That's where the idea even formulated from. But if you have an idea, find an example. Find something, whether it be in your niche, your industry, or in another one, that is doing something close enough to what you are doing so that you could see what they're doing, study what they're doing, see their results. Now you might say, Anik, but I've got this amazing idea that nobody is doing. Don't do it. I'm just being honest. I know it sucks, but like, I don't want you to put your future on inventing a new iPhone. You know what? Even the iPhone wasn't like there wasn't data points out there for Steve Jobs to know that this is the way the market was going. There were things happening. There were things happening on phones. BlackBerry? There was already evidence and data for Steve Jobs to look and lean on to know some level of a surety that his idea for an iPhone was one that would make it. So find an example. Now, company, a person, depending on your business, right? You might have an idea for like a software. So you'd be looking for companies and not so much a person, maybe a person. You might have an idea for an education product or for a course or for a workshop or for a mastermind or for whatever. So then maybe you're looking for a person, not a company. You might have an idea for a gadget, a device, and then in case you're looking for a company. But find someone that's at least serving the same market or doing your type of idea in a different market. If you can't find them, I'm telling you that right at step one, you just stop. It's just, unless you are a business wizard, you have millions of dollars and you are ready to risk some of it in innovating, don't do it. Innovation should come when you have the appropriate resources for it. It should not be the first business you build. It should not be the business you put everything on. It should not be the business that as an entrepreneur, you want to first go out after. This is my opinion. There are many other people out there that disagree. And what those people do, by the way, is they have this brilliant idea. Like they're going to invent the next rocket that can take you to Mars. Obviously that doesn't exist, but then they go out and raise millions of dollars from other people that believe in that. So it's a different kind of entrepreneurship, and that's not the kind we're talking about today. So now Russell Brunson has created this thing called funnel hacking, right? Like, he talks a lot about it. And for a lot of us, we've been doing that. Like, I've been funnel hacking since before funnel hacking was funnel hacking. I've been doing it forever, but I want to take it one level higher and I want to call it business hacking, because that's what I really do. A funnel is much further down the line. I want to first hack a business. So with this particular example, Jeremy sent me a person that I listened to and I saw some things and I was like, boom, I had an idea. But my idea this person that he sent me was a perfect example of it. Their company has ridiculous numbers, amazing success, and they're doing exactly what I intend to do in a different market with a different person. It won't be competitive. I'm not disrespecting their trade. It's just valuable evidence. So now I've got a company, I've got a person, I can see their funnels, I can see their ads, I can see their messaging, I can see their results, I can look at their product, I can buy their product, I can see how they deliver it, how they set up their structure. And now I can do my research, R&D may begin. And they're not the only person, by the way. I found two more people that I'm going to be doing the same process with. So I didn't just find one company, one person, I found multiple. Now, the more companies and more people I can find that are doing what I'm trying to do, the better idea I have, the more assurity I have that I will succeed. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, we move into what I call binge-free information. I go into a massive binge mode when I have a new idea. I love it. I just love to surround myself with information about it. So what did I do? I immediately made a list. I sat down for 2 hours where I had nothing else to do. And I said, I'm not going to actually listen to information during this 2 hours, but I'm going to create a spreadsheet and put links in it for all of the places where I can find relevant information. Two of the ones, the places I love going to lately and have become addicted to for free information, YouTube, but even better. Are you ready? Podcasts. I don't know what it is about podcasts. People will divulge so much more information and private information on a podcast than they will anywhere else. I can't explain it, but it's true. I'm shocked by myself sometimes how much information I'm willing to give up about learn, about my vision, about my mission, about my dream, about what I'm doing, about the results of what I'm doing on a podcast than I will ever in a room. If I'm sitting in a room of six people that are marketers and we're in a mastermind, I gotta be honest, there are some things I might not say, but for some weird reason on a public podcast, I'll throw it out there. And I've seen this from other businesses and other personnel. When they're being interviewed on a podcast, they'll divulge all kinds of information. Now you might say, Anik, what if they are not on podcast? This is why I have the Fighting Entrepreneur. I'm being honest with you. One of the reasons I started this podcast was so selfish because I knew that if I could grow a huge following and I knew if I could have a big podcast, I could get and learn from the best of the best. I would be able to learn any skill or trade I want. So for me, I didn't put this on my step five of my five steps, but for me, part of binging free information is guess what? I reached out to three or four people that are amazing experts in the type of business now I'm looking at building and I'm booking them for podcast interviews. So they're excited to come on because it gives them exposure because our podcast is growing so fast. It's got such a huge and targeted audience. But also, it just so turns out that some of those people have done episodes on podcasts before. So go to Google, type in their name, type in the company's name, type in podcast. And binge it all. Even if you feel like it's not relevant, even if you're like, wow, but they're talking about their customer service routines. I don't care about that right now. No. You have no idea the kind of data that comes out. Go watch it. Go listen to it. They might start telling you how many customers they get. They might tell you how many customer support requests they get. They might tell you how many hours they take to respond. They might tell you specific stories of types of challenges their customers have faced. All of this is brilliant intel for you. You need it. So now what I do is I stay in step two. I will stay there for like 3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks. This is, I mentioned to you in a prior episode, it was a Monday episode a week or two ago where I said, you know, one of my friends and coaches, he has a nickname for me, he calls me The Flash. This is all a part of me slowing Flash down, trying to do some research first. And that is, I might spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks until I feel like I've binged enough free information that I have evidence, facts, state data, numbers, stats behind my business idea, and I still like it. After divulging in 2, 3, 4 weeks of free information, binging it, if I still love my idea just as much as I did the day it came up with it, I'm on a good track. Do you know the other thing is how many times have you had a brilliant idea where that night you're like, yeah, this is amazing. And then a week later, you've already forgotten about it. Or a week later, you just don't feel as strongly about it. Now what happens is if I've gone through weeks of binging free information, if I was going to fall out of love with the idea, I've fallen out of love with the idea. And yes, guess what? I've had many ideas that once I start binging the free information, I'm out within a week. As a matter of fact, I noticed something this morning when I was getting ready to come to work. There's this big, thick book. I don't want to tell which one. It's a big, thick book. Big book, right? I was so excited about it a week and a half ago. I was like, I'm going to read this whole thing. I want to learn what this company does. I'm going to understand their infrastructure, how they hire, how they set up their team structure, how they run their business, blah, blah, blah. I started reading the book. I got 60 pages in. Guess what? I'm out. I was laughing at myself because I took a lot of pain to like print the book and just, you know, it's one of those like books that's not readily available. You can't buy it. So it was like, it gets snuck around as a PDF, which the company wants, but it's crazy. It's a good marketing ploy. So I had to print it. So I printed it all. I wasted all this ink. And like, but I'm out. I just saved myself God knows how much headache, because what I almost did when I had the idea, I was like, this book is awesome. I'm going to give it to my top people, my top three or four people. Read this book. We are repositioning. We're going to build. What? Calm the heck down, buddy. Read it first. Divulge it. See if binge it and see if, like, a few weeks from now, once you're finished, you still feel as excited. I didn't. Within a week, I was off the bandwagon, saved everybody in the company a bunch of pain. All right, so that's a little tip. Go podcast heavy on the topic that you're looking for, okay? So I don't necessarily follow certain podcasts. Like, I'm not a very enthusiastic subscriber. There's a couple I listen to, but I listen to a lot of podcasts because I go topic specific. I go looking for episodes rather than podcasts. Okay, number three, we move on to number three. Create your preliminary plan. So now you're weeks into this idea. You've done a ton of research, ton of information gathering, and you still love your idea. So now I start to create a plan, okay? And part of my plan is, what's my I start with marketing, ladies and gentlemen. I never start with product. I start with marketing, always. Now, that could be because I'm a marketer. That's my trade. I love marketing. I love ads. I love hooks. I love angles. I love copywriting. I love funnels. I love all of that stuff. But I like to start there first, because you know what? You could have the best product in the world, but if your marketing isn't on point, if you don't know how to get people to see the product, what's the point? So I make a marketing plan. I look at Facebook. I look at Google. I look at what audiences I would target. Are they readily available? Are they easy to access? Are other people targeting them? I go and I look at the brands that I was researching in step two. What I do is I go to facebook.com/ads/library. Write that URL down. It'll be in our show notes at onicpodcast.com. facebook.com/ads/library. I go to that URL. I look up all their ads. All the brands and all the persons that I was researching in step two, I can see all their ads. I want to see what kind of hooks they're using, what kind of angles they're using, how many ads they have. If they have like 50 ads, I know that they're deep into it, that they're doing a lot of media buying, that they're serious about it, which means it must be working, which means I could do it. Very easy for me to replicate. If I only see like two ads, then I'm like, they're not doing a lot of ads. What else could they be doing? Let's go check out their Google rankings. Let's go check out their podcast. Let's go check out their social media. Are they using those outlets to get this stuff to work? So I'm in major planning mode. What's my marketing look like? How am I going to access the audience? What am I going to say to them? What will my ads look like? Okay, then once I feel now, listen, at any one of these steps, I might fall off the map, because I've had ideas where, I'll give you a prime example. Are you ready for this? I actually did not apply this five-step model, and I spent tens of thousands of dollars. I invented something. I don't want to explain what it is because I still want the patent on it, because I might as well, but I invented something. I invented something for a market that I don't want to reveal also. Sorry, I really want to get my patent just because I might as well have it now. And it's awesome. I found a problem and it totally solves the problem, and people love it because people who see it, my prototype, they see it, they love it. So I'm like, this is it. This is going to be, I'm going to be able to do e-com now. Like, I'll actually have a product I invented. It's going to make me millions of dollars. This is cool. I found a problem, solved the problem. I'll create value in people's lives. So I designed it, worked with an engineer, got a prototype done, cost me thousands of dollars. I spent thousands on the engineer. I wasted a ton of time on it. And guess what? The niche that it's in, it is impossible to target that niche on Facebook and YouTube or Google. It's not like, by impossible, I mean like they don't allow it. That's a demographic. It's a niche that they do not allow advertising for. So reaching my target market is going to be so hard. I could do it, but it's going to be boots on the ground. I'm going to have to show up at places and make business deals. And I don't got time for all that. I got to build, learn. I got 10 million entrepreneurs to get into one place. So the business has kind of fallen flat. Had I just done that first, I'd have saved like $35,000. So, marketing plan first. Now that I got this set, if I'm still on the bandwagon of doing this idea, I'm still in step three, I move to the deliverable. What does it look like? So remember, this is where, again, all of my research I did in step two becomes helpful. So these companies and these people that I dissected, that I hacked, what do they deliver? When they offer a product or a service, they are charging X amount. What are they delivering? What does their delivery look like? How do they offer support? Do they have live support, chat support, phone support? Do they have coaching? Do they do events? you know, how many customers roughly are they bringing? What kind of product array do they have? Do they have one product, two products, 10 products, 30 products? How many products are driving most of their revenue? What's their most popular offering? I look for creating a deliverable. What would my product and operational process look like? I know, listen, this is pretty strategic, right? How many entrepreneurs do you know that go about doing it this way? This is why I say entrepreneurs, we're not risk takers. I'm not a risk taker. Man, I'm calculated as heck. All right, so now we move into number three. This is now, this may or may not apply to you depending on where you are in your entrepreneurial journey, but for me, this is the be all end all. I don't care how much I love an idea. I don't care how much I love the marketing. I don't care how much I love the deliverable. I don't care how big the idea might be. It stops here. I'm still in step number three, but I'm part number three of step number three. By the way, all these show notes, if you want to see these, go to onikpodcast.com. It's easier if you have a visual. ANIKpodcast.com. All right. The third part of step three, project lead. In my case, at Learn, it may not be Onik. It cannot be Onik. That's the rule I set up this year, a few months ago. The project lead for a new division or a new product or project cannot be me. 100%. Who do I have in my company that I would trust more than even myself? Note that. Not as much as myself. Who do I have in my company that I would trust more than even myself to lead this project? And if the answer comes back, I don't have anyone, sorry. Wrong idea, wrong timing. Good idea, wrong timing. Timing is everything in business. Or do I love this idea so much? Is this project so important? Is it so instrumental to the company that I'm willing to invest the money to go out and find the right person? Now, if I decide, yes, I want to go out and find the right person, then no problem. But I just changed. Like my research process, I'll finish it, but now I know I got to put some money into it right up front. Right now, you might be in the place where you're looking for the right... You don't really have a business up or whatever, so you might be the project lead. That's okay. If you're a first-time starting entrepreneur, you could be the project lead, no problem. Number four, part still in step three, number four of step number three is team. So I go as far as saying, okay, I want project lead, but who would be the project lead's first one, two, three people that will be pivotal to this project happening? So in the particular project that I'm looking at that Jeremy and I are researching, I already know that one of the key leads for that project will be Jeremy. I mean, that's his dream. That's what he came to me with. But Jeremy is, he is not necessarily the operational head of the project. He is a big pivotal part. He was the most important part. But then he's not going to run the project. He is a part of the project, and without giving away too much detail, right? He's going to be the content provider. He's going to be the one that creates the, he's the visionary. There you go. He will be the visionary with the project. Him and I will partner in the vision, but we still need a project lead, an operational lead. And I have someone in mind. So we're moving forward. And he's going to need some team members to help bring that vision to light. Who are those people? Do I have the people? If I don't, do I have the budget to get the people? And that's part of the creating the preliminary plan. What's the budget? What's the financials, right? We'll move into that in step four. But then the last thing I have to ask myself, and again, many times great ideas fall off the bandwagon at this. This is the fifth part of step three. I'm still on step three. I bold it. I underlined this. This is so important. Is this the right time? I got six ideas right now for Learn. I'm telling you, they're all awesome. Six ideas. Do you remember recently I had an episode where I talked about focus groups? That focus group I ran was for a huge, awesome niche industry division that Learn must go into, that Learn should go into. However, we need to do a lot of work for it. It is not low. After the focus group, I realized that is not low-hanging fruit. We have a lot of things to do for it. So am I going to do it? Yes. Do I need to do it? Absolutely. You know, is it imperative to Learn? Yes. Is it the right time? No. So, tabled it. No hard feelings. But I have a few other projects that are going to be directly impactful to the company, that are lower hanging fruit, that I already have the team for, that I already have a marketing plan for, that I already know how to do, that's in my wheelhouse. Let me get through those first. Let me automate them. Let me get the division set up. Let me get the project, the team, the lead, everything done. And then I will come back to this thing. So the time's not right now, but I'll reevaluate if it's the right time in 6 months or not. So that's a huge part. And that rounds up step number three. If you're still there, if you've still gone through this and you still feel like your idea is right, we move on to step number four, which is to run your math and your Excel files. I have not opened Excel yet, by the way. So it's not until step four that I open it. So on this particular project idea that I'm going over with you, I haven't. The one that I'm working on with Jeremy, I am still on number two. I've not even moved to step number three yet. I kind of know some parts of step number three, but I've not moved there. I've actually not even asked myself, is this the right time? Because I haven't finished step number two. I haven't binged enough free information. I haven't created a preliminary plan. And I haven't then been able to look at my plan and say, okay, do I have the right resources, right team, right people? Is it the right time? But once I do, that'll be soon. I'm going to be hitting that up very soon. By the time you're listening to this, I've already addressed this. Then I say, okay, now let's run some hard math. Because no idea should be your baby. It's a business. In the end of the day, it should be an enterprise. So I treat it as that. I run Excel. I do estimations. How much can I make? How many leads do I have to get? How much money will it take to start this division, start this business? How long before I break even? How long before it's profitable? Is it worth my time? How many people do I need? What will they cost me? How much am I going to spend on Facebook? How much do I estimate a lead will cost me? How much do I estimate a revenue line will be? What are my upsells? What are my downsells? What are my conversion numbers? I know. You're sitting there thinking, oh my God. But hey, listen, you want to pour your life savings into a business without taking a moment to learn this stuff? This is why I created a book called The One-Page Entrepreneur MBA. Because this is where we teach you this stuff. If you can't do all of this, if you can't know what's in this book, then you're gonna be risking burning your money. So I run the math, but I run preliminary math. Okay, one round of preliminary math. It doesn't have to be stupid detail. I learned from our executive vice president of sales and marketing, Joe Campanella. He calls it a pro forma. It's so funny. He came to me recently for a different division, and he was like, "Here's my pro forma." And I turned around, I'm like, "What the heck's a pro forma?" I had no idea. I've done over $250 million in sales online. I don't know what a pro forma is. He explained it to me. So it's like a very high level, like project estimation to see like if there's any, should you even do it? Now, if you survive that, and if you're pro forma, so to say, go Google it, because that's about as much as I can teach you about pro forma. If your initial Excel estimations survive and you're like, wow, this is still looking really good. Then you move to step number five, which is pay the piper. I buy information, I buy courses, and I pay consultants. I go out and I find the top people in that space that consult that type of idea. I pay them thousands of bucks. I would do it before I do any new idea because I don't want to waste. Time is our most precious commodity in the world. I don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours of my time and my team's time on an idea if I could avoid a bunch of pitfalls. So I will usually seek out minimum two, if not three consultants and book time with them. Now, thanks to me, I got this podcast. A lot of times I get them for free. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I pay them money. I'll pay them a couple grand, $3,000, $1,000, $500, whatever. I buy time from them. And then what I do is I show them my preliminary plan under an NDA. I say, here's what I did. Here's my research. Here's what I've got. Here's what I'm creating. Here's my deliverable. Here's my marketing plan. Here's my ads. Do you think this will work? Here's my financials. And they look at it and they say, oh, this will either be awesome or why don't you, uh-oh, you have a pitfall here, pitfall here, pitfall here. You're missing this. You're missing that. Fix this, fix that. So in a matter of usually a month, and after spending maybe just a few thousand bucks, $2,000 or $3,000, I have like this solidified business plan, my one-page entrepreneur MBA. I have a quote-unquote business plan, not what they teach you at Harvard. That's nonsense. I have a business plan that an entrepreneur should have. And now, after I have made final tweaks to my plan, thanks to the advice of the consultants, I will revisit step number four, run the math one more time, and this time I'll make the math more specific. And if I have survived that, ladies and gentlemen, you have a great business idea. But notice how much work we put in. And this is why most of my companies and most of my businesses succeed. Because at some level, I put them through this business hacking cycle. And if they don't survive this, I don't do it. I'm refusing to be impulsively passionate just because I have an idea. I want to be strategic. There you go, entrepreneurs, make it happen. Listen, as I always say, when life pushes you, stand straight, smile, push it the heck back. Those are five strategies I use to research a new business idea. Make sure you leave us a comment. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe, click the bell icon, and of course, click the thumbs up icon. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, make sure to hit subscribe, and please, please do leave us an amazing review so we can spread the goodness of the Fighting Entrepreneur to the rest of the world. And as I, you know, always tell you, go to anikpodcast.com, anikpodcast.com. We have so many amazing episodes that have been there that we have every topic you can imagine covered. We've had some amazing experts come through. And you can, of course, grab the show notes from today's episode as well. Go to learn.com, L-U-R-N.com. Sign up for free. Become a part of the family. Come on, fighting entrepreneurs. Until next time, go out there and fight for your dreams. This is Onyx Singhal signing off.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.